This podcast is intended to motivate, educate, support, and inspire you on your journey towards inner peace. We are not medical professionals, and we do not offer any medical advice. If you are suffering from a psychological or medical condition, please seek the advice of a licensed medical professional.
Hey, it's your favorite day of the week. Well, at least it's mine. And this week on A Witch, a Mystic, and a Feminist, we are joined by Morgan Stark, who lives in Sedona, a magical portal of places. I have not been, but hope to soon. And she is just an amazing human. She's a shamanic witch. She's a spiritual activist, a healer, an artist. And I think we touch on all those subject matters in this episode. So a new episode of A Witch, a Mystic, and a Feminist drops now. Listen in. We hope you enjoy.
So Morgan, how are you?
I'm doing good.
What do you have behind you?
Oh, this is my apothecary. It's like herbs and oils and all kinds of goodies.
I was checking out your page, all your incense and everything that you put together. Ooh, I was like, I am going shopping.
I've been working on making a new collection. My website is like so not much on there at all right now. I'm working on getting into a few more shops in Sedona. Mm-hmm. And so rather than like putting stuff out as I make it, I'm just like compiling a whole bunch of stuff. And then I'll have like a website updated, stuff wholesale in shops and
love
stuff.
It.
So yeah, I'm kind of shifting from doing the independent contractor thing at Black Potion where I met Marlena mm-hmm. and Deb and shifting more into like my own thing.
I love that.
I'd like to be doing more of the art and working awesome. From home, and I want to make content and be diving deeper into the herbalism thing rather than kind of stuck in this like jobby job.
Right.
You know,
no one wants to do that.
We're all stuck in that. Like the three of us are all stuck in that.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be.
We are.
We're not stuck. We're flowing.
Yes.
And it's good. It's just trust the process. It's good for now. And then you'll outgrow it eventually.
Yeah.
Well, I also think it's wonderful because you just recently moved to Sedona, correct? You're from Vermont.
Yeah. And I had a whole clientele there that I had been building for 10 years and community and all that stuff. And then I just kind of left without any notice and showed up, you know, 3,000 miles away in Sedona. And so that's part of the reason why I had to kind of get into this place, right. Black Potion, because nobody knows who I am. And also I used to be Green Witch Healing Arts and now I'm Morgan Stark Healing Arts, because this town is so love and light and angels and Jesus. And so automatically like a third of the people that I could be getting through to just automatically
is
like, because I have witch in my name, they just have all these judgments. And I'm like, bitch, I could Christ consciousness circles around you. Like, so yeah, me and Jesus, we're tight.
He's my homie.
We're bros.
But I'm also a witch and he's cool with that.
Yeah. But what brought you to Sedona? Did you feel like pulled towards it or was there a reason?
Yeah. So I just kind of knew that I was supposed to end up there. It would come to me in dreams. I would go for a hike and be overlooking this beautiful view of Vermont and the mountains there. And I would see superimposed over it the red rocks of Sedona. Mm-hmm. Also just things like particular like succulents that I had. They would be like dormant for like a couple of years. And then within the months leading up to when I finally made my departure, they like doubled in size. And so it was just like all these little things being called that. And it just got like more and more uncomfortable the longer that I tried to like stay and make it work in my relationship and the businesses that we were running and all that stuff. And it just wasn't, I was just like, I need to leave. And I had all these limiting beliefs surrounding like money and what I was capable of and the planning and, oh, I can't just like leave, you know? And I was like, actually I can. And so I just packed everything into my Subaru and I hit the road. And I spent about a month just kind of traveling across the country, sleeping mostly in parking lots because I didn't prepare with any kind of like savings or anything like that. So it was very raw and it was quite the initiation. And then I was kind of like the most alone that I've ever been, just kind of making it work. Not because normally in Vermont, you know, I've kind of come and gone, but I've had like friends that I could stay with or family or whatever. And here I was like literally living in my car in the desert for like a couple of months before I was able to find housing, because everything's like super expensive. Right. And on paper, I'm not very competitive. I've always gotten places by, like, I don't have credit. If I didn't have the money for something, I just don't need it. You know what I mean? Like, I always have enough. And, but on paper, you know, within 5 minutes, there's 100 other applicants. I'm like not very up there, you know? So it took some time, but actually the place that I moved into, it was furnished. I was able to move right out of my car. I didn't have to buy plates or dishes. There was a freaking blender and juicer here already. Like, I was like, oh my God. And everything is like totally my style too. It was like the universe like had this like, okay, you've been in your car living out of a duffel bag for months and now here's this.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Wow. So it was all very aligned. I feel like the whole process was definitely necessary for, you know, just the ooey gooey chrysalis phase that I was in, and just really needing to like dig deep and like do some serious healing. And I think it was perfect that I was just living on the land by myself, you know, because I wouldn't have been able to be in my own energy so much and as deeply held and connected to the land if I had just immediately had the comforts, you know. So it kind of forced me to really do the work. And so it was a huge catalyst for some pretty big growth and healing for me.
But I also love that you were in that situation, but you still had that faith in the universe that everything is going to be okay. And I'm living in my car currently, but I know there's something bigger and better out there.
Yeah. I like to play the what's the worst that could happen game, like with myself and with clients, you know, like, okay, what's your biggest fear? Like, what's the worst thing in this scenario in your head that could happen? Okay. Now let's just like imagine that it happened. The worst that could happen happened. Now, where are we? Is it really that bad?
Right.
How can we work with this? You know? And so usually like the things that hold us back, they're these giant things in our head, but it's really so much of an illusion. And it's things that we can just stop making up reasons why we shouldn't and just do it.
I like it. Yeah. We always have the but.
That's a good point.
But, and what if we create more reasons not to than to just do it, like you said.
So then you hooked up with Black Potion, and Black Potion hasn't been open for like a super long time, maybe 2 years, a year or 2 years, right?
Yeah. So they just had their 1 year anniversary, and I actually walked in the door 8 days after they were open. Okay. And eight for me on this whole thing has been like repeating eights. Like everybody has like different numbers that happen for them. And that's all about like movement, you know? And so it was just very synchronistic. And Luciana is the owner, Luciana Hudson. She's amazing. You know, she's the reason why I was able to make it here. She actually let me stay with her a little bit because she just couldn't stand to witness me roughing it in the desert in my car anymore. So her psychic had just walked out and she like prayed. She's like, please, it's like so busy. We've been open not even 2 weeks yet. Like I need a psychic. And I walked in like wet bathing suit under my tank top. My hair is a mess, makeup running. And I was like, are you guys looking for a psychic?
Because that's me.
She's like, I was praying for you. Thank you.
And she was like, she literally said, like, I asked the universe for a psychic and here you are. And she's like, yeah, can you? And someone had just walked up to the counter and was asking about a reading. And she was like, can you start now? And I was like, I'm like all wet from the river still, but sure. And so like I grabbed my cards out of my car and I just did it. And as a little backstory, it had been very difficult for me to find a job here. Mm-hmm. You know, like I had worked at another shop before, but they really had issues, like literally an angel is in their logo. So they really had issues with me and my business name and all that. And it was made very clear that I couldn't really grow much there. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up having to leave that place and just trusting that something else would come along. But there had been a lot of me like looking and presenting myself as not me, because I was presenting myself as like the image of what I think these people want to see. And then I was like so embarrassingly like vulnerably me when I walked into this place, and it was just so aligned. And
the name too. I mean, because you're the green witch with black potion.
And black potion.
She has this whole stigma in town too, because she's Brazilian. And so a lot of people have just jealousy and whatever because of her businesses and who she is. And so we kind of were these like offbeat, like misfits teaming up.
Like the outcasts.
You were the rebels.
No, but I love that shop though. So this is going to be like, we have a Sedona series basically.
Oh, okay.
Last week, my mom and I, we discussed our trip to Sedona. So this week we have you. And then next week we have our tour guide who took us around Sedona. And when I went last year, she was mine and Vince is my husband. She was our tour guide. And so I hooked up with her again this year and she did Reiki along with the tour. And so it was, it was pretty awesome.
Cool.
So like, this is the second part of our Sedona series. And we met at Black Potion because Alexis, my child, wanted an aura reading. And that was the one thing that they wanted to do when we went out to Sedona. That was the only thing that they asked for. And so I was like, okay, and driving by, you see aura reading here, aura reading there. You know, everywhere there's a sign. It's like psychic, aura, you know, whatever. But we saw Black Potion. We were like, oh my God, like that's the one. That's the one. And then it's also a coffee and tea shop. And I saw that you had created some teas, some magical teas
that
you're selling there as well. So yeah, it's just, it's a fun little shop. I loved it. You know, we got coffee, aura readings, crystals, books. Like it was just, we got it all. And I'm glad that it was our last day there. Otherwise, I would have spent the entire time in there versus like hiking. And
you'd have been in the store all day.
All day long. So you do aura readings and tarot readings over there, but there's so much more to what you do. Do you do anything else in the shop?
In the shop, just the making of the teas.
Okay.
And I'll also do like tea leaf readings and stuff like that. But that's pretty much it. There is the healing center, Sacred Elements. I also do healing work in Vermont. I had like a massage practice. I was doing shamanic body work. But the thing is, the laws in Arizona are different. I would have to take like months of schooling for something I've already been doing professionally for like 5 years.
Right.
And it just doesn't feel aligned. So I've done a couple of just renting a room over at the healing center, but it just doesn't really flow. I haven't really been focused on like advertising that. It just doesn't really fit. So I'm in kind of honestly this wiggly chrysalis phase when it comes to like my business and like, who am I? What am I doing? What do I want to be known for? What's in alignment with like my passions? Like I can sit there and do aura photos all day, which is really great to connect with people on this level. But honestly, it's kind of boring and soul sucking after a while, you know, because for y'all, it's great. It's the first time you've had this experience.
Right.
But for me, this is the fifth time I've had this conversation today.
Right.
You know, there's only so much variation. And so, you know, I'd much prefer to be doing the readings. I love, there's been a couple of opportunities that I've had to do, you know, meet up with some ladies at their Airbnb mansion, like for this retreat that they're at. And everybody just like wants to have a psychic party or something.
That's
fun. And like, you know, it's a more of like a party thing. So I kind of want to be like the party witch. I've actually been thinking about just doing, because I test myself with the aura stuff because I'm also psychic.
Right.
So like, yeah, there's the science there, but I get a little more personal information depending on how open people are.
Right.
Sometimes I get those skeptics and I have to kind of, you know, they're really closed off. But
with
you guys, you were so open.
We were not skeptical at all.
Yeah.
We're like, tell us. So, you know, and I know you do this all the time, but for those that never had an aura reading before, when I thought of an aura reading, and this is what my mom thought as well. So we were like, do we want to do it? But Alexis really wanted to do it. So it was so much more than just take a picture. Here are the colors around you. Can you break down a little bit of what you actually discuss and what information comes up? And then you were also giving us a reading, like a psychic reading, as we were doing it, which was awesome.
So it's a biofeedback technology. And so you put your hand on this sensor, and I honestly don't know much about how the technology works, but it does. And then you put your hand on the sensor, and essentially it shows your emotions and your energy and graphics. And the aura is always changing. people will cycle through, you know, there's the personality color, which stays a little more fixed for most people. And then everything, the aura is always changing and you're just where you were when we hit the pause button. I like to test myself and see if I can see what people are before there. Mm-hmm. So I can just like bang out some like portraits at a party or something, you know, that would be fun. Do aura portraits and it's kind of do the reading as I'm doing
right.
it. But then, you know, there is like, okay, this color here means this and all that stuff. But then I open up my aura to your aura and I'm able to get a little more personal information. And a lot of times it comes as like, they'll say phrases, they being the guides, right. and they'll say phrases in my head, or I'll get feelings in my body with like a story behind it. Mm-hmm. So it's like a sensation with like a download of information okay. behind it. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what I do. And then as I talk to people, they open up more and more. Right. And then we're able to do a little bit of almost like coaching. Mm-hmm. Like I'm able to like suggest practices that might help them, stones, oils, whatever. Because a lot of people are really, they want the aura photo experience because it's like safer than a psychic yeah. reading. Even though they don't realize that it's really the same thing right. happening, but they get the little souvenir. But it's like a safe way for people to kind of like dip their toe mm-hmm. into like deeper aspects of spirituality and really understanding, you know, what's going on in their body and how that correlates to the emotions that they hold and the things that they need to heal and genetic trauma and patterning. And, you know, it really helps like empower mm-hmm. people like, oh, okay. So this is a visual representation of what I've been feeling in my throat mm-hmm. or in my heart right. or in my belly, you know, and then having energetic spiritual tools of how they can help make themselves mm-hmm. feel better, you know, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Mm-hmm. So does that kind of explain
yeah,
it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and that okay. was going to be my question because I've never had my aura read. I don't really understand it. So no, that was good. And I like how you say that you do get messages from their spirit guides or your guides are coming in. So it does turn into a reading. So it's more, I think I've always envisioned, oh, someone's going to look at me and go, oh, I mm-hmm. see this color and this is what that means. And it's like, okay, great. Thanks. Now what?
Cool. What do I do with that?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because like Marlena was saying, in town, I mean, there's like 20 different shops that do the aura photos and everybody right. does it different. And some people will just print it out and be like, your aura is really pretty, or like give you like a generic, like.
And that's what I was afraid of. And my mom, she wasn't going to do one initially because she's like, they're going to take my picture and be like, your aura is really pretty. And, you know, like, okay.
Right.
But
yeah.
Cool. You allowed all three of us to sit in the room together while you did. Alexis did her reading first.
Which was beautiful because then it's like three yeah. generations of people and you can see how they're all connected right. and they have the similarities. And it's such a bonding experience for the family too, because a lot of times they don't allow themselves to get that vulnerable and seen with each other. So it can be really powerful.
It was funny because I was going into that, like, you know, the three generations, all three of us being controlling and, you know, but there was one thing that you mentioned, and I thought it was interesting in that those that haven't been to Sedona before, or let me go into the story a little bit. I had discussed, or Alexis, my mom and I discussed with you, how the day before Alexis basically met these angels on earth. And you said that's a very Sedona oh, yeah. thing. So can you explain to people what that means? Because we were just like, this is so cool. This is so trippy. And you're like, that's a very Sedona thing, which kind of makes sense to me in that everything that I've experienced at each time I've gone there, each time, the two times that I've gone there. But can you explain that a little bit?
So Sedona is essentially like an interdimensional gateway. It's filled with a lot of vortexes. It's a very sacred place. And actually, when the Native Americans were the ones who were here, they never lived in that area. They went there for births. They went there for deaths. They went there for ceremony and community gatherings. They didn't live there. So it's really interesting the way that, because not everyone is like super tapped into the spiritual aspect of it. And there is this whole like love and light side of it. There's also this like seedy underbelly. But it's like this interesting, like, I don't know, everybody just kind of when they come into it, and oftentimes when the aura photos are happening, it's like people aren't in their normal energy.
Right.
They're in their own personal vortex energy of all this stuff is just mm-hmm. like, okay, this needs to come out and be looked at. This needs to be integrated. Mm-hmm. Like, da da da. Okay, we're going to put this in here now. So that kind of stuff happens. And the same with like, you'll go into a restaurant and you'll see someone that you knew when you were 3,000 miles away. That from like the last time you saw them was like 7 years ago or something. And you're both like getting cacao at the same place.
Right.
You know, like, And people will, because there's no veil here and it's such a high frequency and high vibration that it just tends to like blast people open. Mm-hmm. And like Alexis, she has natural ancestral spiritual gifts. Mm-hmm. I apologize. They have those natural abilities. And so it's going to be amplified when they come into Sedona. And, you know, oftentimes people will have experiences with other humans that aren't even really human.
Right.
And it was just like that person just needed to exist to activate something, to have some kind of conversation or to give them a rock or like something like that,
right,
that activates them. And then all of a sudden this person's like gone.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting. There's skinwalkers, there's aliens, there's angelic beings, demonic beings. There's everything you could possibly imagine. There's a lot of interdimensional, like underground, like openings to inner earth. Mm-hmm. Here, people disappear all the time. So, I mean, yeah. I don't want to freak you out, but like for how much like magic there is, you really need to be discerning, because there's also in my trying to find community and a place to kind of fit here, I realized there's a lot of plastic spirituality here. There's a lot of predatory energy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like scammers under the guise of love and light who are actually like the darkest beings that you'll ever encounter. It's an adventure, and every soul is on their own journey, and it's all planned out, and it's all a test with not really right or wrong answers.
Right.
So, but yes, oftentimes people will experience like big initiations. And so they're going on vacation here and all of a sudden they maybe don't feel well because their body is cleansing. Mm-hmm. Or they'll feel really irritated because all the stuff they've been shoving down inside is being drawn out and amplified. It's such a high elevation as well. The high desert, the sun here is different. Mm-hmm. The air is different, you know? And so it just kind of, just like it dries out the earth and it cracks and brings out all the moisture of the earth, it's going to do that for you. Any stuck residual motion, it just kind of like cracks you open. It brings everything to the surface, and the sun just kind of like blasts your eyes open to see everything that you've been kind of trying not to see.
Yes, that's what I experienced.
Wow.
Just blasting me open. But, you know, with Alexis and, like I said, these angels that just showed up and had given them what they needed in that moment. And to visibly see the transformation in my kid was just amazing. And they were there and then they were gone. And I mean, like they were gone. We turned around, they were gone. There was no trace of them.
Yeah.
And we're like, what just happened? But
now, that's Sedona. Yeah.
And that's exactly what you said.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
So come on, guys, let's go.
No, it sounds amazing, but I was going to ask, so how does it feel living there? I mean, you're in a constant, like, I don't know, cleanse mode. Yeah.
It definitely makes me be a lot more accountable. It's not as easy to not be accountable. I live in a place called Cottonwood, which is right outside Sedona. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice to leave the vortex to sleep and click around.
You're like not vibrating throughout the night.
Yeah. But there's a lot of like addicts and poverty, and there's a lot of, you know, like that duality is so prevalent here. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of it amplifies. Mm-hmm. It's going to amplify everything. So, you know, if someone has a whole bunch of trauma that they're unwilling to heal or don't have the tools, or they're just so deep in it and that's just their journey, then that's what's there. But if you're accountable to it, like I have so many tools and like things are, it's funny because I've experienced more periods of being off since moving here than I ever have, like even being on this shamanic witch journey or whatever. Right. But it's cool because it keeps you maintaining your frequency and your vibratory clarity and all that kind of stuff. And also just like doing what I do, I feel like it's just a responsibility of mine. And a lot of people don't hold themselves that accountable, and they don't realize when they're working with people, there's so much projection. There's so much like predatory stuff. For instance, like people preaching like abundance mentality who operate in competition and scarcity constantly. So it's really made me go deep within myself and really kind of like do the work and analyze like all the little things in me. And I'm not perfect by any means.
No, but like you said, you have more tools, right? You have more tools to work in it. And for people that don't, I would imagine could turn out not so great. if they lived there, yeah. You know?
And another thing that's very Sedona is people are drawn here and the vortex literally sucks them in and they get initiated and tested. And Sedona will, it'll kick you out really quickly as soon as it doesn't want you here. But if you pass the test and you prove that you're supposed to be here, it fully supports you. That's how I ended up with the place that I have, you know, and all the beautiful community connections that I have, because I didn't just run away as soon as stuff got hard. Right. But like I've witnessed individuals who like people will come here seeking out this spiritual growth and stuff, and they end up doing it too quickly and they don't have the grounding tools because it happens so fast. They don't know how to discern of like, is this being really loving and who they are presenting, or is this someone who is trying to manipulate me and make me turn to the dark side or go crazy or whatever.
Right.
So I have seen people kind of literally go AWOL, disappear for like a month. They're just like wandering around in the desert, running away from people who they think are chasing them. And then they turn up again and they're like, I got to go. This thing happened and I'm okay. I'm back. But like, I shouldn't be here anymore. And I was just like, wow.
Yeah. That's intense. So,
yeah, that's definitely a thing. But then also the opposite can happen where it's like beautiful grounding, growth, connection, healing. It's just all, it's like an element of like choose your own adventure. And also like every soul's experiencing exactly what they need to experience for the journey that they're on. So it's a great crash course in discernment. It's going to give you whatever experience you need.
Well, and you as a healer and on your website, looking at your website, you know, you teach people how to work on themselves. You make sure that they are looking in the mirror and really doing the hard work versus spiritual bypassing and things like that. So,
I try to help people integrate being and doing. And a lot of that is just by doing that work, because people are like, yeah, but I want to do this, but this, you know, and it's like, but like I said, that let's play the what's the worst that can happen game. And also just teaching people how if you stay in a line of work or in living situations or relationship dynamics or whatever, where there it's not in alignment, eventually you're going to get sick if you like stay in that, because illness and disease is not really a physical thing. It all happened in spirit first, and it was allowed to be there for long enough that it actually translated into the physical. So,
do you work with people online, or like if I wanted to work with you? Because I know that you were in Vermont, you're trying to find your clientele in Arizona, but do you work with people outside of Arizona?
I do. Well, because it's very transient here. Like 2/3 of the people that I come in contact with, I'm never going to work with again, you know, because they were just in town for the weekend. Right. And so there are some people who will stay in touch with me because I'm always giving out my card and stuff like that. So sometimes people will get in touch for like coaching sessions or readings. I'm honestly trying to get out of the coaching thing just because I feel like it kind of, I don't know. I want to be creating and helping people from like a, it's like kind of like I've been there, done that. It just, it's something I could do, but it's not something that feels super aligned and like the energy that I put in. And also oftentimes like even doing the energy work, I'm kind of a bad business person. Because I would break up with clients if they were too reliant on me, if they weren't willing to do the work. Like I've been working with a couple of business oriented, like spiritual coaches. Is that the right way of wording it? I'm missing my words. But, and so they're like encouraging me to be more aligned. I'm like, oh, well, with my pricing, I want to be like accessible. Yeah. But if you have like this price point, then it's like these people who aren't accountable to the work, who have this poverty mentality, who aren't really willing to invest in themselves and actually like doing it. So it was kind of making me feel stuck. And your business as a spiritual entrepreneur, it's a reflection of you and your energy and the medicine that you have to provide to the world. So I'm really working on just kind of redefining what I offer, my pricing, my availability. I would like to put out more content sort of like what you guys are doing. I don't know if I'll have a podcast. I'm thinking about a YouTube channel, just collective readings or, you know, zodiac readings and getting more on top of like marketing, like my art and magic and medicine and that kind of thing. So I'm still like helping people, but it's not so much of my individual time and energy required. I can just like be the creator and put it out there. And then like abundance kind of comes
right. Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Let us know when you do that so that we can make sure to follow you.
Yeah. I'm currently working on it. I actually just discovered that new offshoot of Instagram.
Bread?
Thread. Breads, yeah. Or whatever. Like literally yesterday. Yeah. So I'm working on, you know, growing, but I also have all these fears of being seen and judgments from other people. But I'm kind of at the fuck it point where I'm like, I've come this far. Like, why am I messing around trying to like fit myself into like people's molds and what they think I should be as a spiritual guide or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like I even struggle with the labels of like influencer or healer or any of that because it's bullshit. Yeah. Like I'm influencing you to influence yourself. Right. I'm just lighting a fire under your ass and motivating you to just be who you are. And a healer, they're not really healing the person. They're helping them access the remembrance and the power to heal themselves. Mm-hmm. And ideally it's someone who's already done that work and healed themselves. Because like I was saying with some of the people who are preaching a certain thing and then they don't apply it to themselves, if you're doing energy work with people and you leave them open or you have demons that you haven't fully confronted that are very in alignment with their demons, then their stuff can jump onto you. And there's a lot of responsibility and accountability that kind of like goes along with the territory of the work. And so I haven't really been like doing my diligence with like blowing myself up, you know, yet, because I've been wanting to do my diligence with being in my own energy and not really being fully seen until I'm like ready to like actually be holding those platforms, you know?
Yeah, I love it. And I know you said your web page is a little outdated, but I did notice because I was looking at your services. I don't know. I felt in doing my research, because I wasn't in Sedona for this magical experience to meet you in person, I felt really drawn to you, like just looking at the page and reading your story and now obviously hearing more about how you came to Sedona and what you're doing there. But I was like, oh, she does tarot. She does guided meditations and breath work.
Yeah. And those are all things that I can do remotely. Mm. I do have, I think, the shamanic body work on there still. And a lot of that can be done at a distance. Remotely. I don't do it so much in person. I'll do it for like friends, community, stuff like that. But it's not really like, I don't have a space so much to work out of right now. So it just hasn't come aligned.
I could just take the drive. I'm in Vegas. So, you know, I could just drive down to Arizona and just see you in person.
Yeah, you're actually not that far at all.
I'm not.
So let's go all the way back. When did you start really working in the metaphysical?
So those seeds have always been there. I was raised Christian. So I was raised with the knowledge of the power of faith and prayer and hands-on healing and channeling the Holy Spirit. I won't go too into it, but there was a lot of traumatic dynamics to my childhood. So as a teen, when kind of everything in my life like fell apart, things got dark and I kind of blamed God. And so I had this phase really kind of through most of my 20s of just kind of being on my own. I moved out of my parents' house when I was still a teenager. And I had this whole process of like pushing God away and getting kind of into like witchcraft and all that stuff. But I was actually really drawn to like the darker aspects of things because I was in this like rebel phase of like, well, now I'm going to like learn all about Satanism and like
you're totally flipping the switch. You're just going the complete other direction. Yeah.
You're
like, I'm gonna do the 180.
And I was really, I just held so much pain and I was so abusive to my body and my spirit. And, you know, I struggled with suicidal ideation and made a couple of attempts, had a stint in mental hospital. I was an alcoholic and struggled with abusing substances through most of my 20s. And then when I was, I think I was 29, maybe 30, I started a shamanic witchcraft apprenticeship. I had been just kind of doing self-study. Like I got a set of tarot cards when I was 18 and that was like the only thing that I had and learned some spells and stuff, worked with crystals, but it wasn't like, I didn't identify even as a witch. I just kind of like dabbled. And then when I started apprenticing with this woman named Sandy Crow, I really got deep into a lot of stuff like repressed memories from my childhood, of things that had happened with my father and just like all kinds of stuff, like with the tools that she was giving me. I learned how to do like journey work, mm-hmm. and she would work with me on herbs and how to go out and identify things, and then processing and working with the spirits of the land and getting your own spirit guides and working with them, and energy work, extraction. She attuned me to Reiki, and just receiving a Reiki attunement is like powerful energetic mm-hmm. cleansing. Like it's just, it's crazy. But I just kind of, I don't know, it's like I had this awakening, and just like the switched before, it was like switched in the other direction. Right. And it was like, she has a, they're called the Crow Sisters. She has a sister named Sally Crow, who actually might be a good guest on this. She has a book called Path of Elemental Magic. And then it's like a weird woman's guide to magic or something like that. And it goes through all the elements. It's great for whether you're adept or a beginner. It's amazing. But yeah, she's been on like Gaia TV and stuff it. So she's a spirit medium. So anyways, I discovered Sandy through a reading, a past life reading that I did with Sally. And I had just signed up for an online witchcraft course. Mm-hmm. And she was like, oh, you can cancel that. You're not going to remember through books or like traditional schooling. You've already done this in several lifetimes. Like you're just remembering. And so she referred me to her sister, who is a shamanic witch and community leader and healer and herbalist and all this stuff. And so I started apprenticing with her, and it was like really intensive. Mm-hmm. And it was very immersive. So it was like, just like so much remembering really, really quickly. And then Sally owned also a coffee shop, healing center, metaphysical shop in a place called the Northeast Kingdom in Vermont. And I rented an office there. I sold my art out of there. And that's kind of how I got introduced to the community as like a reputable practitioner. Okay. 'Cause I was like under the wing of these magical crows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Magical crows. I love it.
Yeah. The Crow Sisters.
So, okay. And you don't have to, but you were talking mm-hmm. about how you kind of want to do like parties and do readings and tarot readings and stuff like that in parties. Mm-hmm. Would you be willing to do a reading for us on the show?
Sure.
Putting you on the spot.
Can we put you on the spot?
Sure. So who are we doing a reading for? And is there a question? I guess like with this context, it might be good to like have a question.
Okay.
Usually I'll just kind of talk at people for a while and see what comes forward, and then we can get context and talk about how it resonates or doesn't, and then they can direct for the rest of the time with questions. But
I nominate Christy.
There you go.
I'm like, Christy's had the least amount of readings out of all of us.
So I have a funny question that's been rattling around in my brain.
Okay.
A couple of the guests have told me like I've seen some shit in like my ancestors have seen some shit, and that I've been not necessarily, I'm not going to say a healer, but I've been in healing, I don't know, situations. And so this doesn't really, I'll say, jive with me in like the typical healing manner, because I can't keep shit alive. Like I can't keep like anything alive. I have a black thumb. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, well, it's not, I mean, I'm not an herbalist, right? I'm not going to be able to, like, that's not my
You've
healing.
You've kept your children alive.
Yes. But like, you know, all the other things. So in like that, so I'm having a hard time reconciling, like, was that really something that my ancestors saw or something that is alive in me? But then I also really feel that like I do have a place. I want to create a community. I want to create a healing community. And maybe that's more of what it is, not the physical healing, but like bringing people together and giving them a safe space. And so that has been like the big question. Like, what is it with healing? Is it, am I going to learn how to grow and keep things alive? Or am I going to really do like the people side of it? You know, I don't know. Is that enough to go off of?
I mean, without even asking the cards, I would say like, yeah, everybody has their strengths. Everybody has their gifts, and yours is connection and using your voice, not necessarily, you know, keeping plants alive or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Which is totally fine. It's hilarious because actually my friend Sally Crow, who owned that healing center, she's a major community builder. She's got all these apprentices under her. She does these big events every time there's a holiday or Sabbath. She does like markets, and she's got a witch's ball coming up in October, and we do witches teas all the time. So it feels, and that's her strength. She can't keep plants alive either. Her sister got the green thumb. Her sister got 10 green fingers and she got zero. So I think that is really where your strengths are. I can see what comes up here. Ooh, already stuff. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there is the potential. Ace of Pentacles came out. So that's like huge, big, fat yes. As soon as you make the decision to go there and you make an agreement with God, and there has to be something, because we've got self-mastery inverted, or the energy of mastery inverted, and it feels like self-mastery. And so there's something that is within you that you have to kind of transform and come to terms with and face. It's like a fear. Like, you definitely have trauma within your cellular structure, in your body, when it comes to being in these positions of like power or influence or organizing to be, you know, building something that is healing and helping people and all that stuff. Because back in the day, the church and the state, they didn't like that shit.
Right.
And they'd kill your ass. and that's still in your body.
Yeah.
And so it's identifying where that is in your body. I would suggest going to see a shamanic practitioner, someone who can help you kind of suss out exactly what that story is there and help like remove the threads of energy that are connected to that. It's in your like sacral and your solar plexus. So I don't know if that's basically lower chakra stuff, because the root is like survival. Sacral is creative and sexual power. And then your solar plexus is that source of personal power, your inner son. And inner child's also there. And they really struggle with the adult shining as brightly as they can, because they have the understanding, and also they're kind of programmed from the past life stuff and everything that's in the genetics. And they rule 90% of the decisions you make in your subconscious mind. So doing that inner child work and really like telling yourself, like, I am safe being this person. I am safe creating this community space for healing. And then just also like, even if that full understanding doesn't happen, like just do it anyway, do it scared, do it not knowing what your next step is. Like, just fuck it.
Do it.
Like, just do it.
Okay.
And then you'll notice, and I think that's kind of how you have to meet the universe halfway, how you're going to show God that you're serious. And then all the things, because you, there might be also, not only is there that holding you back, but also the thoughts of like, well, how do I do that? How do I even get that rolling? Like, what are the steps? Da, da, da. Yeah. And just being willing to step into that and voicing that to God and taking whatever the first steps are, whether that's like putting in a notice at your day job, like I just did, only like taking off one day at a week at a time. So you have like one whole day to be putting your energy into like, how am I going to manifest this? How am I going to do my own inner work so this outer work can happen? You know?
Yeah.
Because the outer world is just a reflection of the inner world. And if you've got things that are sticky and icky and stuck in here, then it's going to stay stuck out here.
Right. Yeah.
And so there's like some kind of a resistance within you to fully mastering yourself. And I don't know if it's like, a lot of times we'll have like shame about being who we are, or guilt, or like fear of being attacked. It's one thing when you're presenting a character to the world of something that's not really you, it's safer, because then they're just judging this kind of character and this like kind of fractal version of yourself rather than you.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot deeper if it's you. And there is this deep-seated, like a child, the ego doesn't know the difference between betrayal, punishment, abandonment, and death.
Okay.
You know, so like everything just automatically goes back to that extreme, like, I'm going to die if I do this. But the thing is like, if you do fear like, oh, how is the community going to receive me or anything like that? It's maybe you're just not aligned in the community that you are. So actually that old one has to fall away so that there's room for the new one.
Yeah.
You know, there's this heavy old paradigm reality that you're shedding so that you can be in the lightness and the fullness of your being, like being a human being instead of a human who's doing things so that they can survive, but it's not fully in alignment with who they are on a soul level.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, and you saying that there's been like a lot of holding myself back because I am deeply flawed, right? And I'm a human. So like,
you're
never
going to be perfect.
Right. You're never going to be perfect. But like, why should this be me? You know, why should it? There's plenty of other more capable, I don't know, people out there. And so, and it's been a question of how do I make it safe for all people, right? Because I'm very aware, like I'm a white cis woman, like, you know, so And my heart is really in, I don't know, I don't want to say the fringe community. It sounds bad, but like, just like the fringe community, the outcasts, the people that don't fall in line with society as we know it, you know? And so that is where I've been pulled. And I'm like, well, I don't even know how to do that. Like, I'm such like square presenting. So like, how do I bridge that gap? And, you know, like, I don't know. I just know that there's something in me that definitely wants to create a safe space for people and for community. So
first, you are the only person who has the heart and the soul and the medicine that you have. And so that thought of like, well, who am I? There's all these other people who are maybe more qualified to do it. Just get that out of your head, because you're the only one who, and this seed has been put into your heart for a reason. You know, and so my suggestion to you, because a lot of times what can hold us back is we feel like we have to be the ones doing it all. Get a team of co-creators. Maybe you're the leader. Sure, you're the captain of the ship, but you've got all these other crew members. And then that's where you can have your crew member who can be the advocate for the Indigenous community or for the Black community or for the queer community or the non-binary community, or, you know what I mean? Like, and then all those voices are presented in the fabric of what it is that you're creating.
That makes a lot of sense.
Sorry, I do find it interesting that you mentioned the word medicine, because on one of our episodes where we had a guest on, Emily Harrison, who discusses the Akashic Records, that was something that she brought up as well with Christy. You have the medicine. It just triggered that memory. And this is now the second time that this has been brought up to you. So just, so there's that.
You're medicinal.
You're a medicine woman.
Well, I mean, yeah. I won't try to go and grow anything, I promise. No, I thank you. That's been rattling around, seriously, in my head for weeks, if not months. So,
and you can also do things like, I actually have this dream, and this is like inspired by a community space back from where I'm from in Vermont, which actually this beautiful creation doesn't exist anymore. But they offered, it was kind of like what it is that you want to create. Okay. And so, you know, like my dream, for instance, I want to create a nonprofit here in Sedona that makes it easier for marginalized community members to access healing, you know, alternative wellness modalities that maybe they just have never had any exposure or awareness of, and definitely don't have, it's not accessible for them financially. So for the people who, you know, taking a percentage, like 25% or whatever of each service that's offered, or the top of your, you know, bottom line, your profits or whatever, and putting it into a scholarship fund that is usable for, you know, for instance, in Sedona here, I don't want it to be usable for anybody, because I wouldn't consider every practitioner in this town to be safe for that community, you know? Yeah. So having a filtration system where it's safe practitioners that are, so it not only supports that business so they can still get paid, and these people who are marginalized can still have access to their services, but then it benefits everybody. Yeah. So it's just like one idea too, as well as having actual pillars within the community who do represent all those different marginalized communities, because as a cis white woman myself, I wouldn't know exactly how to represent them. I can't put words in their mouth or be their voice, you know?
Yep.
So they have to be involved at the structural level.
Yeah. That's a beautiful idea. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Keep us posted on that.
Yeah, for sure.
Because we will support. That's awesome.
Yes, we will.
And Christy.
Awesome. So Jamie, do you have a question?
Oh, well, first I wanted to make a statement, because as I'm listening to your reading, Christy, and just things keep coming to mind, and I wanted to chime in, but didn't want to interrupt the reading. I think what kept coming to my mind was, why not you? You are the person to create this safe place for your platforms, and we kind of have a platform. It's a little thing called a podcast.
Yes.
So
we do.
I mean, that's a start. But I look at you, and I know it's funny because you keep saying like you kill everything, you can't keep them alive. But I think you heal in different ways. Like just your writing alone that you've been putting out when it comes to you, because I know you've been struggling. You said lately, you know, your writing's been struggling. But when you put it out there, it's so beautiful.
that I think you're already creating a community that you don't even realize yet. So I think you're healing more than you know, just maybe not in the traditional sense that you think you should be, or that's how I should be healing. I think you're healing more than you realize. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that. That was my perspective.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And you, I mean, you could be absolutely right, right? Like I'm thinking of it in medicine woman, healer like terms, and there's many different ways to heal and to create those healing spaces. And so maybe that's just where I need to step outside of the traditional sense. And like I said, nothing in my brain lately has been traditional. So maybe that's a sign. Maybe it's a sign to step outside of those norms and think outside the box.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You're creating new traditions.
Yes. Which is hard sometimes. Yeah.
I think that's kind of been like our journey here with the podcast going on almost a year now, and trying to create a safe space, a safe place, a platform for our own journeys and being vulnerable. And I guess my question that came to mind was kind of our platform as a whole. It's been a great journey. Are we on the right journey? Do we continue down this path? You know, are we making a difference? Because I think that's kind of where our hearts are. This is for us healing in our journeys, but also to feel inclusive of everyone possibly going through the same thing. And I feel like we're doing the right thing. I just feel like something big's coming and I can't put my finger on it. I don't know what that is.
So I can look into the cards a little bit, but I'm getting a sense of it's important for you to trust the process and just keep being in the abundance of you that you already are being. And that naturally is going to, it's naturally going to be supported. You're already creating all this momentum. And the thing is like where you're going with the podcast, Christy, you with your healing center or whatever, like it hasn't necessarily been done before. There isn't a model. Mm-hmm. The thing is like the old paradigm and the old ways of doing things can't really look at like, okay, this place is kind of the same and this is how they did it. You can do that to some extent, but the rules are shifting. The whole entire planet, humanity, like all that old rules and structure is like crumbling. And now the new rule is it's all vibration. It's all frequency. It's all love. It's all light. It's all heart energy. And as long as you're staying in that and you're being fully authentic, and I want to say good in my intention, but then they said the road to hell is paved with good intentions. So just be discerning in your intention, because a lot of times like we'll have good intentions, but it actually ends up being harmful or whatever. You know, for instance, like white people who want to create a safe space for everybody, but they don't actually ask the marginalized communities and they just go about doing it their way, for instance. Like their intention is good. Their heart may be in the right place, but they're just a little like misguided, you know? So it sounds like you guys are really allowing, you know, God and your hearts to really guide you. And those intentions, those seeds are really there and they've been planted, but it's just, they're germinating. It's going to happen. There's going to be this explosion. Like I feel in about another 6 months to a year, you guys will be experiencing and seeing in real time what that looks like. The momentum that you've built, which you may not realize that you have, you're going to start seeing the effects of that. So yeah, buckle up, because it's going to be a wild ride.
Okay.
And I think that, you know, each of you, I don't know if Jamie or Marlena, if you have your own thing that you're trying to build on the side, but I feel like this podcast is going to be a big catalyst. It's like a good foundation. You're building, you're networking with so many powerful practitioners and people who have this healing intention for the world. And it's just going to, it's all good stuff that you're just kind of like putting it together brick by brick.
Yep.
It wasn't, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day, and this new world, we've been since the beginning of humanity working towards this shift that we're currently in. It's wild. It's a wild fucking time to be incarnated as a human at this time. Yes. We have been doing lifetimes of work, living up to this is the go time. This was what all those lifetimes of preparation were. So that's why really stepping into your power and your purpose and your fullness of being is so fucking scary. Cause you're like, wait, I've died like 100 times trying to do this shit, you know? And so this time it's actually cool. Like we're good.
We're good. Yeah.
This time it's real. It's happening. It's happening. I think that's beautiful.
So, and we're all connected, you know, we're all ancestors.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, we're all healing collective wounds and liberating ourselves from centuries, millennia. Like, since the beginning of human existence, we've all been in some state of bondage, either doing it to each other or from the powers mm-hmm. that be, you know, the people in a powerful position, either on a local or planetary level, because there really is no separation. There's just the illusion of that separation. They're keeping us in this illusion of separation, but they're all in cahoots against yep. us. And if we can all just realize that we're all one and we all have the same objective to just be who we are and to be free and to be happy and to be able to like not have to like work our fingers to the bone for our basic mm-hmm. survival needs, you know, to be able to do what we love, which actually helps people and helps us manifest abundance and opportunities in our life, you know. So
it's beautiful.
I think it's just a matter of time before everyone is able to step into that.
Well, Morgan, thank yes. you so very much for joining us. Thank you for the readings. We would love to have you back. So I will definitely be in touch with you. And Christy, you want to take us out of here?
Yeah. Thank you for joining us on this very special episode of A Witch, A Mystic, and A Feminist. We will be back next week. Don't forget to go to our website, wmfpod.com, to engage with us. And you can also do that on social media. We look forward to seeing you next week.